Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Hey there, family. Summer off to a good start? Okay. All right, then. Well, that conversation's done. I'm ready for summer. I have been looking forward to this summer for a while because I am doing the Wetmore. That's my last name, in case you didn't know. Yeah, all right, thank you. I feel like when you turn 50, you get to do this stuff. I think that's fair. So the Wetmore Summer Series, our theme for the whole year has been overflow. And so over the summer, we like to do something kind of fun. And so we're going to be talking about water all summer long. Water. How it's used in the Bible, both metaphorically and stories. Some of the stories will be very familiar to you. Some of them you may never have actually heard before. And we're going to talk about what God's trying to tell us through these Wetmore summer series sermons. So there you go. Yeah, I'm going to use it as often as I can. I'm sorry I have to. It's contractual. So let's bow our heads as we get going. Lord, we want to thank you so much. As we have fun together over the summer, may we be learning about you. May we be growing in you. May you help us to be everything that you want us to be. We pray in your name. Amen. So this sermon I have called, It Begins and Ends with Water. So we will talk that through here in a few minutes, but I feel like I need to take you back to elementary school. You ready to go? Sorry. We're going. So first question for you, what percentage of our world is covered in water? Someone is here for first service and rehearsal. Shout it out a little bit louder. 75. The actual number, according to Google, which is right about everything, 71%. 71% of the world. So some of you are off by one percentage point, some by four. I say, in Ken's class, close enough. You are good. All right, so what percentage of your body, what percentage of your body is water? 80, 95, hello. All right, that's a good question, and it depends. Some of you are a little bit more watery than others. You could say you're wet more. Ah, there you go. Hey, you're welcome. All right. It ranges between probably about somewhere between 55 and 65, 70% of your body is composed of water. And you can see some of the different parts of your body. Some of them have higher percentages of the water that's there. Your brain, about 75%. Your blood, 83%. Heart, 79%. You can kind of see. Even your bones, 22% made up of water. Are you passing the class today? Some of you are, some of you aren't. That's okay. Everybody's a winner here. What happens if you become chronically dehydrated? If you stay dehydrated, what can happen to you? What? Yeah, you can die. That's true. That's absolutely possible. In fact, there are studies that show that your mortality, if you're chronically dehydrated, your mortality rate goes up. So grab those, water bottles. Another fun one I got to experience was working at summer camp at the tender age of 20-ish, I think, and I got a kidney stone. That's also not recommended. Never want to do that again. I have had that on my prayer list for the last 30 years, and fortunately, it was a one-time event at that point, so we just keep going. All right, so Also, not fun, constipation. So drink your water. It's good for you, all right? Very important. Water isn't just something that's, let me just say this. Water's a big deal. If you don't have access to clean drinking water, that can really hurt really quick. Really quick. How long does it take for you to die if you're not drinking water? Depends. If you're out in the desert, it can happen in hours. But generally speaking, it's somewhere between 3 and 5 days that it can take for you to die from dehydration, not drinking. So again, drink up. It's good for you. Water is a good thing. So, not surprisingly, because water is such a big deal, the Bible talks about it. Anybody want to take a guess at how many times the word water is used in the Bible? 800, 3,000, 400, 100. So again, the answer is depends. Depends on how you translate the original language. So I hope you all understand that if you're reading a Bible in English, it was translated. It was not given to us in English. It was actually written in an original language that then had to be translated into English. And so, you know, sometimes a word in another language can have multiple meanings. And so different translators sometimes translate things a little bit differently. So just to give you a general idea, though, the word water shows up somewhere between 540 to basically a little bit of almost 650 times in the Bible. And those are just the actual word water. If you go and put water into like BibleGateway.com, that's what's going to show up. That doesn't include all the times it talks about the Red Sea, it talks about the Jordan River, so there's a lot more references to water. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 1 with water, and in Revelation 22 it ends with water, and we're going to talk about that as we move on. But I've always loved water, and it's not just because of my last name. I love water. I've really enjoyed it. And the reason I love water is because my mother is terrified by water. What's wrong with you people? That's not, you took that completely the wrong way. That is, my mom was terrified of water because she had a really negative experience at a young age with water. And so she never really learned to swim. And so she determined that she was not going to let her children have that same experience. And so she, from an early age, introduced us to water. We took swim lessons. I have taken so many swim lessons. I was lifeguard certified, WSI, water safety instructor, which means I can teach you how to swim theoretically. Although I tried with my mom and it didn't work out. But maybe that's just, you know, parents and stuff. I don't know. But I love water, and you know, my mom, this is her first attempt to get us to love water. Yes, this is the puddle in our driveway. Yes, we were rednecks. Yes, it's true. In fact, I love water so much, I did a triathlon. Everybody's like, oh, I hate the swim. No. Give me the swim all day long. I would rather flip-flop the swimming with the running. I would rather swim. Like, I'd rather swim 26 miles. I say that, I probably wouldn't. But I'd rather swim than run. I just, no thank you. Let's swim. I like that. So I've done triathlon, love the swimming portion of that. Love kayaking. Love pretty much any water sport. That's me trying to teach Eric how to ski. He didn't need me, really. I was just out there trying to look like a good dad. I obviously introduced my children to the water, wanted them to be good swimmers because it matters. That picture is actually, it may be a little hard to see, but that one is actually Rochelle, myself, and Kyla snorkeling in Guam. We're right where the water is cresting there. It's going to end badly. I love cruises, my favorite vacation. Get me out. And you know why it is? What I love about it is I don't care for all the people on the cruise. I would really like it if I could afford my own boat, but it... Until then, what I love about it is I sit out on the balcony, right, by myself with a book. I don't go into the port. I don't care about that. I just sit and listen to the water and... What do you say, Anderlene? Woosa or something like this? Okay, I'm just... I don't... Anyway, okay, whatever. It was an attempt. All right, so love SeaWorld. Yep, fantastic. Give me water. This is us. This is me at sunset on Guam at a favorite spot. Yeah, and then what's really fun, one of the best parts of my job is doing baptisms. You saw one today, and the one that's up there is actually my first baptism I did as a pastor, which was pretty special. I don't know why we felt like we needed to wear robes out at a lake, but we did. So there you go. I love water. Love it. Feel very comfortable in it. If I fell over, which if any cruise line is listening, I'm not intending to do this, but if I fell over the side of a boat, a cruise line, it wouldn't scare me. I know it should, but it wouldn't. I'm not worried about it. I like to swim. I know how to tread water. I also know how to float for days. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do it, but if it happened, I feel that I would survive. I'm not worried about the water. I like water. And yet, water can give life, but it can also take life. And I was reminded of that at these falls. Well, we'll talk about another set of falls. But if you grew up in Western North Carolina, then you would know about these falls. And I have had to change the name of the falls a little bit to make it possible for me to preach on this. So if you try Googling this, you will not find it, nor should you. Leave it to the locals. It's dangerous. Why do I say that? Because these falls, you can actually slide down them. This is not sliding rock. Sliding rock is the kiddie ride. This is the mom and dad adult ride, okay? I don't know how many hundreds of yards it is. It must be 1,000 yards long. It is huge. It's not. Okay, I know that. And the first time I went there with my friends, it's this hidden spot back in Western North Carolina. You go there, and my friends introduced me to it, and there are a whole bunch of, I told you I'm a redneck. I grew up with rednecks. There are a whole bunch of rednecks up there doing what rednecks do, and just leave it there. And so they're sitting at the top of this falls, and I said, you can't be serious. You can ride down that thing? And the head redneck looks at me and goes, woo! It's the fastest 3 seconds you'll ever spend on your bottom, was what he said, kind of. And and he was correct. You move down that falls, and it is fun. And depending on what beverage you're drinking, you may try to actually stand up and go down that thing, which is also a really bad idea. But it was fun to watch other people do. So this is the falls. Now, the key to this falls is lots of rain. Because if there's lots of water, there's less busting. You know what I mean? Less of the busting going on your hindquarters. And so rain is a good thing. So we went up there one week when there had been a lot of rain. We knew it was going to be great. And so sure, we were riding these falls. It was incredible. I mean, it was fast. It was amazing. It didn't hurt because there was so much water coming over. But then one of my groups said, you know what we should do? We should go down to Turtleback Falls, which is a couple hundred yards down the river from where this one is at. We should go down there. We should do that. That will be fun. I was like, yes, let's do that. That would be fun because Turtleback Falls is super fun. Why? Because this is a falls that that you can slide down yet again. But there's a drop. There's a really good drop at the end, maybe about six-ish feet drop off of there. And one of the really cool things you can do that may be a little hard for you to see, but there's these round holes that are right on the edge of that rock surface. And you can actually put yourself down inside those holes while the water is coming around you. It's like your own little personal cold tub because the water is super cold. And you can hang out there. And I was like, yes, let's do that. Well, here's the problem. For the first set of falls, lots of water is a good thing. For the second set of falls, lots of water is not a good thing. And the reason it's not a good thing is because at this falls, you see how there's that guy standing up looking? He's on top of a little cliff. And the water comes in and hits that, and then it goes down this way. And so if there's lots of water, that water's coming out of there quick. And this particular day, we were having fun with my friends. We were going feet first. Everything was fine. And I said, I'm going to go head first now. I was 19. It makes sense. If you're a guy in 19, every stupid thing any male ever does is at the age of 19. There are other ages as well, but especially 19. And so I said, I get into one of the sinkholes, and the water is just, it's pushing hard. I'm like, this is going to be so cool. And so I go off head first, and because I'm head first, it pushes me harder than what normally would happen. And it shoots me towards the bottom. No problem. There's plenty it's plenty deep. So I go down, but what happens is the water slams me up against the edge of this cliff, and I'm stuck. And I kind of start reaching my hand up, and there's a shelf, and I'm underneath it. And you guys know how the story ends. I saw a couple of you getting really freaked out. I wanted to help you out. I'm here. You're welcome. So I'm being pressed up against underneath this. And fortunately, my mom had gotten me swim lessons and taught me. I'd learned a lot about the water. And in that moment, what came back to my head is quit struggling. Because I was fighting, I was trying, and I was just being pressed up against quit struggling. And as soon as I quit struggling, the water just pushed me along the edge and popped me back up on the other side. Thus, here I am. But, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. There's one person who's happy I'm alive. So I pop up on the other side, and honestly, that is the closest I know that I've come to dying in water. I was sure I was going to die, because water can give life. And when water is in chaos, when there's a lot of it, especially, it can take life, and it can take it quickly. And at the beginning of the Bible, we find the earth in chaos. Genesis 1 says, in verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. And then verse 2 says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. On what day did God create the water? Get back to me. Get back to me on that one. The water's there. Day one, the water is there. And for an ancient reader of the Bible, what they would have recognized, what they would have seen that maybe you miss out on, is that a picture is being painted of chaos. Because in the Bible, water can also, like particularly large areas of water, can also be a metaphor for chaos, particularly stormy waters. And so the water, there's no form. It's just everything's not in its right place. Everything's upside down. It's not right. There's dark. But hang on. Who's there? Family, take something away from this. There's a few of you who walked into here today and your lives are in absolute chaos. Nothing's in its right place. Everything's upside down. There is no order, and you walked in here thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There's a few of you who walked in with medium chaos today. There's parts of your life that are orderly, but there's other parts of your life that are very chaotic. And then for everybody else, there's other people here who your life has aspects of chaos in it. And don't try to tell me that you don't have chaos in your life. Everybody does. There's parts of your life that need to be ordered, that are out of order. And what I want you to take away from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is that there's this misconception oftentimes in Christianity that somehow we have to bring some order to our chaos before God's willing to be with us. But at the beginning of this world, when everything is in complete chaos, God's Spirit was still there. God's Spirit hovered over the waters. And today, no matter what stage of chaos you're in, complete to somewhat, God's Spirit hovers over you, wanting to do the Spirit's transformational work. And it is a work that only the Spirit can do. The Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. And for the next 7 days, 6 days of creation, seventh day of rest, for the 6 days of creation, what happens to an ancient reader, they would have understood that God takes chaos and creates order. He puts everything in its own place where it belongs. He sets the stars in the sky, the sun, the moon. He separates the water above the earth and below the earth. Yeah, I know I didn't get them in order. I'm just running through them, okay? Don't get stuck on the details. God puts everything in its right place. And if you think you can put everything in its right place, then you think you're God and you're sadly mistaken. Only God can do that. So when everything is finally in its right place, God introduces humanity to the scene. It is the climax of creation. And then he celebrates it all with Sabbath. Not to rest, but for togetherness. Yes, it's rest, but you know what I'm saying? It's community. What did Adam and Eve have to rest from? Does God need rest? God takes a day for community, for togetherness, to stop and realize, by the way, the Sabbath is always a reminder that you can't fix your chaos. Only God can give rest. And so out of that, God creates a garden called Eden, and there's a river that flows from the land of Eden, and it divides into four branches. And a lot of scholars believe that basically the idea was that there really was no major oceans, and that these four rivers, east, west, north, south, think about it that way, they go out and they cover the earth. They provide water across the earth. And so those are these rivers. So that's Genesis. God creates perfection. Human beings in Genesis chapter 3 come along and mess it up. And we reintroduce chaos into the world. When God's done, there isn't chaos. But when we choose, we introduce chaos. So now we fast forward to Revelation. In the penultimate chapter of Revelation, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone." Here we have a picture of after God has dealt with that sin problem that we introduced, once God has made everything right, there is now a new heaven and a new earth, and what's disappeared? Chaos. Chaos is now gone. And when we go to the final chapter of Revelation, we find an angel showing us something. The angel showed me a river with water, with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of the God and of the Lamb. Do you see what John the Revelator and what God do? Beginning of the book of the Bible in Genesis, there's Eden, there's a river. It splits into four. At the end of Revelation, there's a river. And many theologians believe it splits into four. In other words, Eden lost, Eden restored. Chaos done away with. Life available. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the water of life." And Jesus flows out from God's throne to hydrate his people. And so it's not surprising to us that as Revelation 22, the last chapter in the book in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, it's not surprising to us that as it begins to close, it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." Family, does anyone really mean anyone? It does. I don't care how chaotic your life is, and I don't care what other Christians have told you about whether you belong or don't belong to Jesus. If you hear him, come. If you're thirsty, come. If you want to drink freely, do so. God's Spirit hovers waiting for your permission. Nudging. Hey, I'm here. I love you. I care about you. I don't care what they say about you. I want you. You belong. You matter. You're loved. Let me take your chaos and create order and purpose. Let me transform you to what you need to be. Family. As we talk about water this summer, no matter what we're talking about, the invitation is always the same. Come and drink, not the water of chaos and death, but come to the one who gives the water of life. You are wanted, and you will find rest for your soul. I love you. Go love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.